Love that song. I think I'm a little bit loud. Am I? A little bit? Okay. Am I reverberating back? Just a little bit. Last week we talked about communion with God, and communing with God is getting to be in His presence and to talking with Him and hearing from Him, and that being a Christian, being a believer, is more than just going to a church and maybe giving Him the offering plate. And it's more than that. It's more than just hoping someday I get to go to heaven. It's knowing Christ today. It's knowing Him now, that you can know Him personally as your Lord and Savior. That when you sing the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," it's because we have a friend in Jesus, and He is our friend. And He will talk to us, and He'll speak to us. He speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to our heart. He speaks to us at all times, if we'll let Him speak to us. He always wants to commune with us. And that's that commune. I want to differentiate that between commune and communion. In just a little bit, we're going to receive communion. And that's wonderful, because at communion time, we recognize what Christ did for us. But He doesn't want us just to receive communion and then that's it. He wants to commune with us. He wants to speak to us and meet with us. And that's one of the things that we see in the lives of the disciples. We see it in the lives of those in the Bible who have come to Christ, is that they have communion with God. They meet with God. It's much more than just, I go to church. It's I go to church to meet with God. And I meet with Him, and He changes me. We see the difference from one life that is living for themselves, that is selfish and living for themselves, and one life that has no hope. And then we see that hope is given when you come to know Christ and you have a relationship with the God of the universe. That's what believers need, is a relationship, not a religion. They need a relationship. They need to be able to look and say, "That I know God is real because I know God. He speaks to me and He talks with me." And we sang that song last week, "In the Garden." Come to the garden alone. And He walks with me and He talks with me. And there's communion in that. We need that communion, because it's in that communion that we find the power of God. It's in that communion that we find the excitement over things again. Have you ever been in a place where you just feel like you got the blahs? It seems like there's no hope. And it seems like maybe your Christian faith or religion, however you want to say it, has got kind of stale and stagnant. And you really don't have that relationship. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been in a relationship with somebody and the relationship got stale and stagnant, and it really wasn't growing like it was supposed to, and it really wasn't moving like it was supposed to, and you really didn't have that, it seemed like the love, how's the song go? I've lost the loving feeling. You ever had that? I've lost that loving feeling. And I know I don't sound anything like the artist, if you get it. But that's sort of the point, though, is that we lose that loving feeling, and sometimes we lose our faith, and sometimes we question God. And it's okay to question God at times if you're questioning Him with the intent of, "God, show me what I need to do. Where am I missing?" And a lot of times we lose that loving feeling, and the reason we do is because we don't have a loving relationship. We can translate that to couples. I've been to several couples therapy sessions, and I've been to couples weekends and things like that. And one of the biggest issues with couples weekends, and why couples have struggles with their relationship, is because they don't have that loving feeling, and they don't have that loving feeling because they've lost that communion with one another. They don't talk to one another like they probably did when they were first dating. They lose that. And that loving communion has to be there at all times. You know this, and I know this. For those of you who have that loving communion, everyone who's got that loving communion, go ahead and raise your hand with your spouse. I'm just kidding. I don't want you to raise. I know Trent's going to say, of course I do. Or she's going to smack me if I don't tell you that. Okay? That loving communion, that loving relationship, You know, sometimes we begin, that begins to wane at times in our marriage, and we have to recapture that. And sometimes our relationship with the Lord is like that. We've lost that loving communion and loving relationship. Why? Because we became too religious. We depended on religious ceremony instead of depending on the fact that we've got a loving God that wants to speak to us and talk to us. And it's in that loving relationship and loving communion that we have security, safety. We have power for living. We're able to get up each day and understand that this is going to be a great day because I serve a living God, and I serve a God who loves me and he knows me. The Bible says that he knows us by name. He also says this. In fact, he says this. He says the very hairs on your head are numbered. We have a God who the very hairs on our head are numbered. He knows us that intimately. He knows us that closely. And he beckons us, come close. Come close. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, he says, come boldly to the throne room. Why? So you could obtain mercy and grace in time of need. Have you ever been in a time of need where you've needed God? You need that communion with him. You need that to be able to talk with him and walk with him and speak with him. I know that you love your spouses and you have that communion with each other and you walk and you talk together and you communicate. If you ever have a schism in your relationship, many times it's communion that's the problem. It's that communing together is the problem. I've had so many times when I've counseled couples, and that's one of the biggest problems right there. It's not necessarily the things that they give or don't give. Those are symptoms of the problem. The biggest problem is the communication that they have. And they don't commune together. And God calls us into a loving, wonderful communion. I want to read a scripture for you because we want to get into the Word of God. He says this, I'm going to start in the book of John, the 15th chapter. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he sees that there's going to be issues sometimes with people who are Christians, who are following him. They weren't called Christians necessarily at that time. When they were called Christians, it was a slight. They were making fun of them when they would call them Christians. At the very beginning of the church, it was known as the Way. Okay, the Way. And what way? The Way through Jesus Christ, of course. But in chapter 15 of John, the gospel, he begins talking in the first verse. He says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. So he lays the foundation. Listen, everything, every foundation in your life, every foundation in your relationship with God needs to understand this, that I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Any type of sustenance that you want for God has to go through that one understanding that God is the one who tends the garden. Father tends the garden, and Jesus is the vine. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. He says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now listen to this. In verse 4, he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. That word abide in the Greek means to stay and remain in. Because sometimes we go in and out like a light switch. We think we can turn God on and off like a light switch. Well, we go into church, we turn God on. We leave the church, we turn the light switch off. And that's not how God works. He says, when you come to me, you remain in me. You remain in fellowship with me. When you go out the doors, you take me with you. You know that I'm always there with you. And that anything you go through, I'm there to go through it with you. Anything that is difficult in your life, God knows that you're there and he's going through it with you. And the thing is that he's not going to allow you to drown. He will go through it with you. Because he wants to commune. And sometimes it's in those most difficult times of life that we're really able to commune. In the hospital the other day, person lost their baby before birth. It was a fetal demise. Went into the hospital the other day, and the person was sitting there in the bed, and I went up to him. I said, "Listen, I just want to let you know that we really are sorry for what you're going through, what you've lost. Is there any way I can help you?" He didn't really have anything. I didn't really know what to say, and I said, "Listen, can I pray for you?" And I began to pray, and I began to just try to minister to the best that I could. And at the end of it, I said, "In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray." And I just turned around and said, "You know what? We care about you. We love you." And tears began to come down. For a moment there, she began to connect with the loss that she had and realized that someone really cared about her and loved her. In there by herself. Most difficult time, but yet she experienced the love of God at that moment. And sometimes we go through difficult times, or sometimes we go through periods and seasons where it seems like our relationship with the Lord is not there, but God promises. He said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." What he does is tells us, don't leave me. Abide in me. Stay in my presence. Stay seeking my face. And those things that you need will be provided for. Because sometimes we feel like we just don't have hope. And you know what? It's usually when we first experience the problem, first experience it, it seems like everything comes crashing down in our life. And we just say, "God, where are you?" Anybody ever said that besides me? Am I the only one who's ever thought that? "God, where are you?" I've had that happen so many times when it seems like everything's crashing down. And I said, "God, you don't even care about me. God, you don't even love me. You're not even there." And within a week, everything turns around. Something happens and it crushes us. And if we'll just remain in God, if we'll just abide in him, he says, "I'm going to get you through it." And then within a week, everything turns around. Has that ever happened to you? I've had that happen so many times. Because something will happen, and I'll begin to panic, and I'll be thinking to say, "God, where are you? I don't see you." And I'll just hear the still small voice, "I'm not here. I haven't left. Don't you leave me." And if I'll just trust him, I'll just hang on. It's like within a week, everything turns around. So let me just tell you this, okay? I'm going to say this honestly to my church family. Anytime you get angry with me or mad with me, you all are very loving. None of you do it. It's the people that aren't here that do it. All you. David, I'm going to tell this to everybody, Rob. Dave was golfing with me yesterday, and I left the golfing because I was called to the hospital to go. This is the one I had to go visit this person. It was another person too, but I went and visited, and I left, and Dave was in my group that was golfing, and we were shooting bogey golf. Does anybody golfers out there know what that is? Bogey golf. That's where you're getting one more stroke than what you're supposed to be golfing. You're supposed to be better than that. You're getting one extra stroke, and that's what we were shooting. And then when I left, the next seven holes, David texted me while I was at the hospital. He texted me, said, "Oh, by the way, I just want to let you know we started parring everything after you left." So I'm going to tell on him right now. I want everyone in here to text David. Everyone text him, all right? You'll get a kick out of it. But Pastor Chris told us that when he left, okay, you guys did real good. But you know what? We know that you're at a golf tournament today, and you're skipping church. And that is a sin, okay? your golf game isn't going to be much better over the next few months because of it. Just do something like that. Say something like that to him, and then just give him a little smiley face, you know, because he should be here. He had committed to a golf tournament. That's where he's at. Well, bless him where he's at. But sometimes we get into this little funk where our relationship begins to wane because of a situation or a circumstance. Or when you get mad at me, you get angry with me sometimes. Not you, again, not you. But it crushes me. And I get the feeling, God, where are you? And then within a week, everything that I thought was a problem, it's all solved. And I look back and I say, God, why can't I trust you? Have you ever felt like that? You ever been in an argument with somebody? It seemed like things weren't going real good. You just pray about it. And then all of a sudden things get fixed. You ever had a problem with something and you didn't know how it was going to work out? Hung in there, and all of a sudden it gets fixed. That's the hope that God wants us to have in everything, whether it's our relationships, or whether it's a circumstance of life, whether it's your finances, whether it's your health. And I'm not just saying God's going to solve every single one of your problems all the time, but I'm going to tell you something. We should always have faith and trust that God is with us through any situation. And it's like the Bible says, that when we go through the fire, we will go through the fire, and we will come out on the other side without even having the smell of smoke on us. And it comes as we have a communion with God and realize that when we're going through the fire, he's going there with us, and that we are going to come out on the other side. It might take a day, it might take a week, it might take a month, it might take a few years. But God never forgets us, and he never leaves us. And the only time that we ever walk out of the presence of God, it's when we walk out of his presence. When we leave him, when we say, God, I can't get through this situation, you must have left me. He never leaves. He never forsakes. His arms are always open. It doesn't make any difference what you've done or where you've been or how bad you've acted or what has happened in your life. It doesn't make any difference. His arms are always open. He says, come to me. Let's reason together. We'll work this out. We'll work through it. And you will come out on the other side, not even with the smell of smoke on you anymore. And spiritual growth many times is learning to go through those events that might set us back in our relationship with God by going through them with him instead of going through them without him. One of the first, whenever you have a problem, one of the first people you need to call on is the name of the Lord. Lord, this is the situation. This is what, and I'm starting to learn that more and more and more. Lord, I want to come to you first. This is a problem. You said you'd be with me. You said you'd bless me. You said you'd watch over me. And I need your help now. Don't be surprised if God says, well, come on in. Come on in. Let me share with you what some of the issues are. And we'll get through it. Abide in me, and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Later on it says, if you'll abide in me, you will ask what you will, and it will be done for you. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Isaiah. It was in the book of the Isaiah, God comes to the children of Israel. And Israel is going through some struggles. He's going through some struggles. Is there any Indianapolis Colts fans out there today? Is that it, Indianapolis Colts fans? We got some bad news last night. Andrew Luck is retiring right in the middle of a preseason game. I hope that when Stephen texted me and I looked at it, I said, oh, that's not possible. Stephen, what you need to, are you sleeping? Did you just dream this or something? It's not. And then I got online. I found out, yeah, he's retiring. So some of you may be in a state of depression if you're a Colts fan today. But let me just tell you this. God will get you through it. God will bring the right person to quarterback the Indianapolis Colts. Well, in the book of Isaiah, Israel's going through it. They've got some real issues, some real problems. And they've already given up on God. They're not communing with God. They're not talking with God. You know, when they do talk, it's superficial. It's, you know, it's God, where are you at? How come you're not helping me? Kind of talk. And so God answers them. He says, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? And my just claim is passed over by my God. This is in Isaiah 40, verse 27. Why do you say this, Jacob? Why do you say this, O Israel, that your way is hidden from me? And my just claim is passed over by my God. In other words, they're saying, you're not helping us at all. You're not there for us at all. How come you've left us, God? And God is firing back at them and saying, why do you say these things? Why are you telling me that I'm not there? Because I've been there the whole time. I'm still there. It's you who have walked away. See, because God wants to bless his people. God wants to commune with his people. God wants to be with them. And that happens many times when we turn to God and pray and talk with him. Prayer, because we're going to say the Our Father today, but prayer is not reciting a passage. That's not necessarily prayer. That's reciting something. Prayer is communing with the living God and talking to him. We've got to get that in our thinking. We've got to remember that if we're going to say the Our Father, make sure you're saying it to him. And you mean what you're saying. Don't just recite it. I was in a church where we recited it. We had to recite it 10 times every time us terrible little boys had sinned over the last month. We had to go and confess those sins, and then we had to recite it like 10 times so that we can get our sins forgiven. And I could say it fast as anybody. We were really good at it. We should have had our own club. We should have had our own training. We'll teach you how to say the Our Father in less than half a second. Because we were good at it. But we didn't mean a single word of it. We didn't. So it's not reciting stuff. When Jesus was teaching his disciples, pray like this, he wasn't saying, pray these exact words and stay on course with them. No, he was teaching them a model prayer. This is what you do. And the first thing that was taught, and we talked about this last week, the first thing that was taught is honor and worship God. Who he is. And hallow his name. And let him know the second thing. That was the first thing. Hallow God. And the second thing is find out what he wants. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, your will. So those are the first two things. When we commune with God, and we talked about that last week, that's what he was teaching. He was teaching a model of prayer that this is how you're supposed to do it. And in here he says, why do you say these things about me that aren't true? He goes on, he says, have you not known or have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he never faints nor is weary. In other words, I hear every single word you say. I see everything, every deed you ever do, I see it. Do you think I'm sleeping? Do you think I'm just resting? I'm not like you. I'm not a couch potato. I'm watching everything. I don't get faint. I do not get weary. My understanding is unsearchable, he says. In other words, whatever you're going through, there's always hope because I'm with you. Hope is not a weak form of faith. Hope is what we always hang on to, knowing that no matter what we're going through, God can bring us out victorious. and God will bring us out victorious. Even if sometimes we don't, have you ever felt like this? You ever felt like a failure in what you were doing? Ever felt like that? You only fail when you give up and stop talking to God. That's when you fail. As long as you're talking to God, you're not a failure. Because you know what? God's not finished yet. You got another day to live? God's got another day to do what he said he's going to do with you. You always have hope. He says his understanding is unsearchable. In other words, you just don't know. You don't realize what's around the corner. You don't realize that, you know, it's like when my car dies and I get upset about, oh, I got to go get that fixed. I'm not thinking that, you know what, within a week that's probably going to be all fixed and everything's going to be okay and I'm going to be able to drive and go wherever I want to go. What I'm thinking at the time is, oh, I failed to keep my car running. Oh, I'm such a failure. How come I have to drive this 2008 truck when I see all these 2019 trucks on the road? We smile. Some of you are smiling, but that's exactly how we think sometimes, is that every time something goes wrong, we fail, and that's not the case. Sometimes things go wrong just because, you know what, you live in a fallen world, and guess what? Ford F-150s do not last forever. They break down. The air conditioning will sometimes go out. The heater will sometimes have to be repaired. Sometimes you'll get up and your body will ache and you don't feel like doing anything. And sometimes you will feel depressed. Anybody ever felt depressed? You know what? Sometimes depression is as much a part of the chemistry that's going on in your body, and you just need to wake up and start walking around. Maybe take a shower. Sometimes depression is caused by circumstances, and the circumstance is there one moment, and then within a week the circumstance changes. Has that ever happened where you've lost it before, where you just gone nuts over something that happened, and then within a week you can't even remember that it happened? Karen's the only one. I'm glad I've got one honest person that's sitting, and she's sitting on the back row. That's why she could be so honest. Good. She's back there in case any of you try to leave early. She's back there to tackle you in case you know. I'm just kidding. See, God doesn't leave. He doesn't forsake. He's not finished. He's got something around the corner that you don't realize. And a lot of times as believers, we get into this kind of funk and depression because our relationship is not what it should be. We're not communing with God on a regular basis. On a daily basis, we need to be communing with God. When we go in prayer and we talk and we commune with God, we know we've got a higher power that's above all of our circumstances. We've got a higher power that can take care of any problem that's going on that you may be experiencing. We've got a higher entity, a higher person, a higher God, however you want to define him. He's so great. He's so wonderful. We've got a higher authority that has authority over us. And he says, I will never leave you. I won't forsake you. And guess what? There's nothing that can separate you from my love and my care for you. I don't care what's going on right now, because I'm the one who's the author of circumstances. I can change it like that. And if I'm not changing it yet, hang on, because you're going to see the power of God work in your life if you'll just commune and talk with me and realize that I'm with you. Don't you realize? Sorry. Didn't mean to shout. Lord, calm down, Pastor Chris. Calm down. Sorry. Don't you realize God is always there? I never faint. I don't get weary. He gives power, he says, to the weak, and to those who do not have might, he will increase their strength. He says this for all you young bucks that are in here, and me, the almost 60-year-old, if I'm going to tell you these young bucks, some of you, and a young buck is anyone younger than me, okay? I'm almost 60, so for all you young guys, let me tell you something. Youth is not always power. God's Spirit is power. And he says this, even the young, the youths shall faint and they will be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall, he says. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, who is it that he's talking to? He's talking to those who wait on the Lord. And when you see that word wait on the Lord, that doesn't just mean sit around and do nothing. When you wait on the Lord, you become his waiter. Anybody been in a restaurant? I've given this illustration. You've probably heard this one before, but I'm going to tell you again because there's enough new people in here that probably haven't heard it. When you go in and you sit down and you begin to get the menu and the person comes up, your waiter or your waitress comes up to you and she has her notepad and she goes, "How can I help you?" And you might tell her, "Well, I'd like a steak, potatoes, I'll have a salad too, and do you have any of that nice raspberry iced tea? I'd like some raspberry iced tea, and bring us some more bread." And she sits there and looks at you, or he sits there and looks at you and say, "Hello, I am your waiter or waitress. How can I help you?" I just told you. I'd like some steak. All right, give me baked potato. Some raspberry iced tea. And I'd like one of those salads. "Hello, how are you doing? I am your waiter or your waitress. How can I help you?" I'm sorry, did you not hear me? I want steak, potato, I'd like a salad, give me some raspberry iced tea, and chop chop, okay? You're wasting a lot of time here. Now, you wouldn't say that to anybody like that. You wouldn't do that. But if someone kept doing that to you, you'd probably start saying, "You know, what's going on with you? What's wrong with you?" And see, we treat God like that. You know, we come to church and we say, "God, I'm your servant. I love you. You're my Lord." And then he tries to speak to you and you don't listen or don't hear. There's no communion going on. There's no communing. You know, we need to listen to God, hear what he has to say, and say, "Yes, Lord, whatever you would like, let me go get it right now." Because when you go to a restaurant and you're waited by somebody, you want to have a connection with them so that they will get you what you need. He says, those that wait on the Lord, those that come into the presence of God and talk with him, and then listen to him, because he'll speak to you. And then when he speaks and says things, say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." And goes and does those things that he tells him to do. Those that wait on the Lord renew their strength. They mount up with wings as eagles. They run and not be weary. And they walk and they do not faint. They become strengthened in the communion with God. See, isn't it better to have a relationship with God, a communion with God that is alive and is working and is strong and is doing wonderful things in your life than to just tell people, "Yeah, I go to church at least a couple times a month, maybe. Yeah, I give him the offering plate. Pastor Chris is going to take a bus trip to the Creation Museum, so I give a few bucks to that." See, we talked about this in the Bible study. A lot of our young people, you want to know why we have a hard time keeping a lot of young people? Because they look for something to read it. They're looking for truth. They don't want to go and be a part of some group simply because mom did it and dad did it and grandpa did it and grandma did it and great grandma did it and great grandpa did it and great 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 grandma and grand. Did I miss a great in there? great, and on down the road. They don't do it because it's a tradition that's been handed down from generation. They want to do it because it's real. And if they come to a place where they don't see the real, they don't see people with a relationship with God, all they do is see people who come to church and go, and they don't see the fruit that Jesus was talking about, when you abide in me, you'll see the fruit. But I tell you what, young people, when young people see something real and they see something true, and they look at somebody and say, that guy knows somebody. I don't know if it's God or not, but he knows somebody, or she knows somebody, because there's power in that person's walk. There's power in what she does. I can see the fruit of the Holy Spirit upon her life. There's something real about that person. I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing real about you if you don't commune with God. It's all just religion. It's all just ceremony. If you're not communing with God, there's no real to your relationship with God. If all you do is just go to church. And church is good, don't get me wrong. You should go to church. You should give in the offering plate. You should pray. You should come to the altar when you need to come to the altar. But if there's not an ongoing relationship, young people are not stupid. They don't see the real. And they say, there's more. I get more real online, playing video games. I get more real there. They're looking for something real. And I tell you what, when a young person catches the real, when they see the Spirit of God on somebody's life, I want to tell you something, it changes their life. They become one of those people like DC Talk, a group used to have that song. They become Jesus freaks. Not because they're freaks, but because they see Jesus in the lives of other people. No one will see Jesus in your life if you're not communing with God. I've had to repent so many times when I've allowed a week to go by without returning to God and saying, God, forgive me for not being with you every day. See, he's real. If you look at the people in the Bible, they had a daily relationship with him. That's why they saw the miracles. That's why you see the power in their life. That's why you see the change in them. You see the change in them. That's real. But then you also see the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and they had a whole lot of religion. Absolutely no power. Why? Because they went to church every week. But they never communed with God. Had they communed with God, they would have recognized Jesus like that. Let me ask you this. Do you see Jesus? Have you recognized him? If you're communing with God, you'll be able to test the spirits that come forth from anybody, and you'll see Jesus when Jesus is there. I'm going to take a moment. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. In just a moment, we're going to receive communion.